Well, I'd like to welcome my next guest now, Niels Alakad, who is the CEO of the Organic Supermarket and Cafe. Oh, Niels, welcome. How are you?
Good.
Tired?
Yeah.
Yeah. Your store is open and everything's fine?
Our store in Dubai Mall is open and everything is fine.
Good, good,
welcome
good.
Welcome.
We were talking just earlier with Lina Alabas from Zen Beauty Lounge about chemical-free products. And just a few sort of challenges that she'd faced when sourcing these products. And what's interesting, I think, from this discussion and from a lot of research is we're getting more choices available now. And I think what's great about the store that you have is also offering those choices is for people who want to go chemical-free as far as their cosmetics are concerned.
And we offer them in a user-friendly sort of style that you're used to, you know, so you can have it in your little tube that you're used to getting it in.
So what's the news at the moment? What's some of the updates on chemical-free products and cosmetics? Are you seeing that there is a lot more demand for them?
Well, you know, there's been a lot of problems with legislation. Like, there hasn't been any legislation. So you really had anything in the product, from heavy metals to you name it, to everybody trying to rush and put legislation on, and then different groups making different sets of legislation. So you got natural cosmetics, and then you've got, now they've got the star system they're introducing in Europe. So the stars will denote how clean it is. You know, you're one star up to, I think, four star. So that's sort of just filtering
clean
through.
Clean
as in the more additives you have and the more chemicals you have, well, then the less clean it is.
Okay.
So if you have absolutely nothing in it, well, then you got the cleanest product.
And you get four stars.
You know, I can't remember if
the
cleanest
has
no
around.
Stars or they have all stars. But you see, this is it. It's so confusing. There's so many different systems coming through. That system is sort of just coming through. I've seen it coming through in Germany already. And then they had that NI, that Natur Cosmetic standard. And in the organic world, for the longest time, there wasn't really a standard that you could follow because it wasn't possible to follow it. And then they had different bodies had different standards, and then you could get away with like having 10% organic in it.
And still call it organic.
Yeah, and then you could have 90% organic and 80% of that was aloe vera.
So
that's a lot of things are happening. Even now, importing cosmetics into the UAE, they've set now guidelines, and you've got to have your analysis reports and your heavy metal reports and everything. So a lot of things are happening, but I still see a lot of it happening with different countries doing different things, different bodies doing different things. It's still a little bit scattered.
There's no kind of international standardization.
No, I think we're still far away from that.
Okay.
Everybody's doing things and everybody has the right intention and it's all in the right direction, but it's not uniform.
Yeah, I mean,
I think here in the UAE, they're following what they call codex. So that's the codex standard. It's just that lots of other people are not following that. They want to have an even higher standard.
Okay.
And that's where that happens when you're bumping into the natural and the organic. That's when you get all these other standards.
Right. But how do you base your standards then? What do you base them on?
Well, I look at what's in the products. So we've got a lot of natural cosmetics.
What does natural mean? I think, again,
natural means everything that doesn't have petrochemicals in it.
Okay.
So you've got no petrochemicals, and then we also have no SLS, no parabens. We've got products without all those ingredients. And then I also look at, for example, when you've got organic. You know, there's been so much cheating going on in body care, in organics. There are brands which are called so-and-so organics, and that's part of the trademark.
Yeah.
They're actually not even organic at all.
Mm.
You know? So I really look what's in them. We're importing a new product now. I mean, we've got two natural cosmetics, Sante and Logona at the moment. We've got Desert Essence, which is an organic one. We've dropped, we haven't listed many, which people would say, well, they keep on coming to me, why haven't you listed it? Why haven't you listed it? Because one, it's only organic by name. It's actually not even organic. And others are, they've got too many fillers and things in it, so they're just sort of skimming by the legalities and not really achieving what you're supposed to.
But to kind of filter your way through all of that, do you have to be very knowledgeable? What about
you
just
to.
Your, you know, your basic
it's
consumer?
My industry.
That's
my
I mean.
Industry, and I had a hell of a time understanding it all. So now I've sort of got a range of products, and now getting all the registration, getting all products registered so that you can import them. So you got your organic standard, you got my own standard. I say there's a minimum standard which we as Organic Food and Cafe will accept, and then we have to get them all to be registered. So if you put that all together, it's really a lot of work. And then when people say, oh, you don't have that huge a range, I'm like, Wow, if you knew what it took to just get this in, you'd be surprised.
Well, that was a question actually from one of our listeners was saying, I do see the organic products and then when the stock has gone, they're finished and I can't find any more. Why is it so difficult? Well,
it's because registration has come in and many companies have said, we're not willing to do what it takes to register. It's too much work. It's too much money. It's not viable. So we've gone from, let's say, 8 brands we used to have to having lost 4 of them and having added another one, a new one. So there's sort of this restructuring has been going on. Mm. But I think whatever we've got now, and that's going to continue. And we are bringing in another company, you know, another brand called Aiken out of Australia. So that should be coming in soon.
Okay.
I think a lot of people are looking forward to that.
Right.
And then hopefully towards the end of the year, the famous Dr. Hauschka.
Ah, yes, an absolute pioneer, I think, in organic and natural products.
Yeah.
But why, I mean, this might seem an obvious question for you, but why would we start to look at natural products? I mean, okay, have you found that those people that buy organic food are also the ones that naturally would start to think about buying organic cosmetics?
You know, not necessarily.
Right.
A lot of people who've got skin rashes, eczema, all sorts of other problems, and they've tried everything they could. You know, you start becoming very creative. You know, when I was ill and I went through every doctor, neurologist, everything, and then I went to breathing classes, acupuncture. You get very creative. I ended up with homeopaths, and they ended up curing me. And the same thing. Now, if you're red from head to toe, and you got allergies, and things irritate you a lot, well, guess what? Stopping to use your normal soap and switching on to a Castile soap with nothing added, no SLS, no parabens, guess what? That can solve your problem, I would say, 8 out of 10 times. Mm. It may not solve all of it, but I can tell you in what I've seen, eczema and stuff, it's pretty much solved 1 out of 2, which is a pretty good success rate. And the other ones have been solved to 80% of the time. Get rid of all the chemicals in the soap, all the petrochemicals, and suddenly you don't have all those irritations anymore. I know people have been smearing themselves head to toe with cortisone, and with a little bit of work, a little bit of phasing it out, they use now environmentally friendly detergents, you know, soap nuts for their clothes, and the organic soap that we've got, and the problem is gone. So from the people who've got light eczema to the kids, I mean, some kids have had such serious problems where the moms have changed the soap, a small help. Have changed the detergent, a small help. Have changed even the washing up liquid. And then once you eradicate all the things step by step, eventually you come to the solution.
I mean, I think that's what Lena was saying as well, that prompted you, wasn't it, Lena, to really start what you were doing as well, was you noticed that you were getting like rashes and things like that from hair dyes and manicures and pedicures,
yes,
and things
exactly,
like that.
Yeah.
And have you had clients coming to you saying the same things?
Yes, yes, yeah.
So this is a growing trend. I mean, again,
we see that a lot in hair dyes.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people coming in for hair dyes and saying, well, we can't use that stuff anymore. What have you got? And then they use it and they say, wow, it comes. And you know, daren't I be out of stock, I'll be in serious trouble.
Oh,
I can
really?
Tell you 3 colors that if I'm out of stock, I might as well leave town because they'll hunt me down.
The ladies will be chasing after you. All the guys. Actually, this is a good question for you. In fact, Ibrahim had called in earlier, feeling a little bit left out because we were talking about the Eco Salon for ladies, of course. What about your products? Are they, what would you call, unisex, or how does it work? They are.
Sure. And actually, funnily enough, most of the people who've benefited from, like most of the people who've come in with eczema and problems like that have been men with the red arms and neck and face. It's mainly been men.
Okay.
I don't know why. I don't know what's that got to do with. I think women are so used to doses of heavy metal from a young age with their cosmetics that
maybe we've got a resilience against them, unfortunately.
You know, it's very funny that everybody always says, oh, my food I take such good care of and I make sure I eat healthy, and then body care products, well, you know, it's just a body care product. And then they forget that what you put in your skin ends in your bloodstream 2 minutes later in many times. And what you put in your gut, what you eat, you actually have your intestine to decide whether it goes in or not. So your skin is much more dangerous than eating things.
There's no sort of filter there to
You could actually eat body care products and get less damage from them because your intestine will stop some of the stuff going through, but your skin wouldn't.
That's a
and
quite
if
a
you see
thing.
All the heavy metals and stuff. Mm. I remember picking up a bar of soap, and what was the product I saw in it? I can't remember now. It was a bar of soap had that stuff you preserve dead animals in.
Oh, formaldehyde.
Formaldehyde. It was in a bar of soap.
Oh my gosh. I won't
mention the brand, but it was 2 years ago. I don't know if it's still available on the market. It was one of the most common brands.
Wow.
And I saw formaldehyde, and I said, fancy putting formaldehyde in soap. I wonder why.
But it's a very good point that you make, Niels, is that, yeah, we've got our eco-consciousness has sort of been raised to start thinking about what we're eating and being more aware of eating maybe organic produce and things like that. But I don't think that our awareness has been raised on an equal level about what we're actually putting on our skins.
It's the total picture. The net total of everything that's going into your body.
Yes.
And affecting your body. That includes air
Topical
as well. Air pollution.
And that's, yeah.
So you've got your air pollution, you've got your water, you've got what you put on your skin, you've got what you eat, and then the last two things would be the amount of stress you've got and the exercise you do. Sure. Number one is the amount you eat, what you eat. That affects you the most because you eat so many times a day. You know, when you take myself, for example, how many times do I smear some body care product on my body? Well, not very often. You know, a bar of soap once a day, that's it. So not all of us get affected by body care products as much.
Right, okay, so because we're not using it as much. Well,
sure, I mean, half the population barely uses any.
But why is that, though? Why do you think that there isn't more awareness about it? Is it these products are probably a bit more expensive, though, aren't they, than the regular ones as well?
Not necessarily. As a matter of fact, I say a lot of them... You see, when you get the cheap body care products, well, they are really cheap for a very good reason.
Okay. And it goes back to the same argument for the food, really.
Yeah, but it's slightly different here. And then you get the really expensive ones, and you're like, well, they're expensive for the wrong reasons. They're expensive for image and the advertising buck that was spent. Go buy your premium decorative cosmetics, whatever the top French brand may be, or perfume. And there you are, you're paying like mascara, 290 dirham. I'm like, what are they, off their rocker? So I can get an organic one for half price.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So then you're like... Then you can balance it and say, well, there, the organic is actually cheaper and a lot cheaper than your premium brands. I don't want to mention names here again, but pick any of those top whatever brands and the organic is cheaper.
Okay.
Why? Because the money's not spent on the advertising.
Niels, do stay with us if you can. We've got more questions for you. This is The Green Team.